With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to On the Bench. I'm your host, Brendan Sinone. And no pressure, I have six eyes staring at me. This is really intimate and uncomfortable.
I'm not staring at you. I'm looking at my phone.
I'm trying to upload a YouTube video.
Okay, yeah. I have two eyes. I only have Bud Elliott's eyes staring at me right now. So we have a special guest, Bud Elliott. Bud, welcome. A
special
guest.
Guest.
It's been a long day, guys.
We're all drinking water.
For now. So Bud is up in Tallahassee. He was here for the, I don't know what we call it, Mike Norvell Elite Camp.
They call FSU. It the Elite Camp.
Just the Elite Camp?
We call it the FSU Elite Camp.
But is that allowed to be called?
Sure.
Okay. All right. First question, fellas. Was it an elite camp?
No.
Okay. I think we fleshed that out a little bit more Monday, Tuesday.
Some positions, yes. But overall, no.
Okay. Quick takeaway. Let's go around the horn here. Bud, you see all sorts of camps from a national perspective. I guess, what was your initial takeaway from today's elite camp at Florida State?
Yeah, I think I agree with Chris there. I mean, you saw some targets that are, I think, fairly realistic for them. You know, you saw a couple guys that I think are definitely elite players, like Jordan Hall, you know, out of Jacksonville. And some of the DVs are pretty nice guys. But you know, overall, like, you didn't see a ton of superstars, but you did see some promising things, too. I watched quarterbacks a lot today. I thought Luke Kremenhawk looked really good. Shoot, I wrote his name down. The kid who I thought was the second best, like, for my money, Luke was the best quarterback here today, at least performance at the camp wise. And then the kid from California was probably my number two.
It was number 15. It was the kid Chris liked too. Did we ever find out the name?
Yeah, we actually found out last night that he was coming.
It's I'm going to butcher this pronunciation. It's Andrew Marchart.
All right.
He's at Santa Fe, St. Paul, and Cali, but he was at Servite, which is a kind of a powerhouse down there.
All right, so I want to get into the quarterback performances and the quarterback interview that Bud had. But first, Chris, your general impressions of today, anything stand out to you?
Well, I love the O-line group, but I didn't watch the O-line group, so I'm going to leave that to Zach because he dived in deep in that one. I watched a lot of the skill. Wasn't much in the running back room. Cam Davis is Cam Davis, looked the part every bit. And wide receivers were good. Love Vandrevious Jacobs. Thought he was very, very good. Super competitive. Same with Camden Fryer. Goldie Lawrence did well. There were some others in that group that were here today that I liked. Also liked the DB group. Sharif Denson was one that I really liked among that group. DJ Pickett, who's a young in 2025 kid, is super talented. Very, very athletic. Very long. Does a lot of things really well. He's a national kid already for a reason. And then Quindarius, I believe it's Jones, who's from Mississippi, was another kid I really liked. Very, very competitive. Thought he did a good job. I think he's a kid who may get an offer off of today.
All right, Zachary, you were focusing on the trenches, which is a little bit of a flip. Usually Chris is watching the trenches, but you're taking the reins there. So trench notes, please.
Yeah, I decided to take Chris's role at this camp. But yeah, the offensive line group was probably the most impressive group out of all that I saw today. I really liked top 247 offensive lineman DJ Chester. Really impressive. He just dominated the one-on-one session. There were some pretty good D linemen there too. I'll get into that in a second. But probably my second best offensive lineman, Roderick Kearney, huge Florida State four-star offensive lineman target out of Jacksonville. He looked really good. And there are a few others. Jatavius Shiver stood out, really tall. Caden Jones is a 6'7" offensive lineman out of Louisiana, who I think FSU increased their interest in and you know, could pursue later on. And then on the defensive line, really like Jordan Hall out of Jacksonville. Obviously, he's really highly rated, but really stood out today, really competitive. He even came up to Kevin Little and I and basically said, man, I wish the pads were on, or you know, that dude would have been on his behind.
Did he use the word behind?
No. But yeah, so a really impressive group. I think that was the most impressive two position groups possibly at the camp. I really like the guys that I mentioned. Lamont Green Jr. also stood out. He had a couple good speed rushes off the edge, but I'll kick it to Brendan.
Jordan Hall just was my first time. I think we saw him briefly last year at one point. So it's been
yeah, he did one of the larger camps last year. He was 305 today, I was told.
Yeah, there was really well. There was a noticeable, like, he looked impressive a year ago, but today I was like, oh, that's a great man.
He's a violent man at the point of attack.
He's got the Alabama like offensive lineman or defensive lineman face where they just look like they're 30 years old already too. Like he just looks like a grown man.
There's a fair chance at some point we might be battling Alabama in that recruitment.
We, huh?
FSU, you know what I was talking
about. Homer.
Got me.
Coming out of the woodworks. All right.
Watts first knee.
All right. Let's go to the quarterback performances. I think Bud and I spent a little bit more time over there. Chris did as well. I'm with you, Bud. I thought Luke Cromanhawk was – he throws a great ball. It's not always super consistent, but, like, the way it flies out of his hand is impressive. So you had him as your quarterback one today?
I thought it was easily. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I saw him in the Orlando UC Report camp, which is the Under Armour camp, and I was impressed, but I was intrigued, right? Like, he showed some good things, and then Jeff Blake, the former NFL quarterback, kind of tied him in knots at times in certain drills, and he was – you could see some mechanical flaws that were coming through, and that was, what, 3 months ago, I think, and you could tell he's definitely been working a lot. Important to remember, he was a safety/receiver for a lot of – you know, last year, and now he's just now taking over as a starter. He was messing around with Tony, Coach Tokars, after the camp. He threw the ball from the logo at midfield and hit the wall,
yeah,
which is like 65 yards in the air. I mean, like pretty high up. And I was like, how far can you throw it? He's like, well, last time I did it was like 2 years ago. It was like 68. So, I mean, he's a big kid. You can see why Florida State took the chance on him because, you know, given where they are as a program right now, it's not a kid you can afford to wait on. I was pretty impressed by him. He cut out that like resorting to sidearm stuff that he was doing when I saw him in Orlando somewhat. Like, there's still a little there, but he's stroking over the top a little better. I thought he was good. Thought the Marshawn kid was good. I thought Parson was okay.
So let's get in. The last thing I'll say about Cromanhawk is that they love his competitiveness, and Bud noted like that he was throwing the ball around at the end of practice or the end of the camp. He was legitimately the last guy to stop throwing the football. Like, he was just kept throwing and kept soaking up as much as he could with the coaches.
When he committed, I had somebody here tell me he's a throwback. And like
personality-wise,
yeah. And I think that's shown itself to be true.
I think they got in at a really good value for him. If he's a stock, they got in a good place. So let's go with Chris Parson. He's a longtime Florida State quarterback commit, about a year now. There's obviously been some developments with his recruitment. It's been documented on Knowles 24/7 and on the bench, so I don't have to really fill you guys in. I don't feel like on that. But Bud, let's talk about how Chris threw, and then you got to catch up with Chris Parson afterwards, and that story will be on Knowles 24/7. It's up on your Twitter currently, the video. What's the latest with Chris?
Yeah, so I thought he threw the ball okay. He had some good throws, and then he had some, you know, some misses that were, I don't know, like, I mean, I was expecting him to be better than Luke, given that Luke, you know, was transitioning to QB and Parsons to full-time QB. It wasn't bad, certainly. Just he didn't blow me away, you know, which you kind of would expect for a guy who, you know, congratulations to him, just got the Elite 11 invite. It looked like he was a little, like, mechanical, I guess. You know, it like maybe just thinking too much and I don't know. I mean, that you ever, like, watched a bunch of Instagram videos about, like, your golf swing and go out there and try to implement, like, all the different – you know, tips at one time. And obviously you watch his highlights. Like, when he's playing well, he can stroke it, and I'm sure he'll be fine. Just, you know, maybe it didn't blow me away today.
I thought the deep ball stuff was good for him. And yeah, I thought it was just the consistency with some of the more intermediate and short things.
He throws a good ball over the top.
So Vandrevious Jacobs had two vertical catches. Camden Fryer had one specific one. I remember. Do you remember who threw those balls?
At least one.
Definitely one was Parson.
Parson.
Maybe more.
All day Dre had a phenomenal catch.
There weren't a ton of guys there that I think can get it down the field in the instance of what those three caught. And I feared Parson was one.
Luke
is probably another one.
I think Parson had two of – I think he had both of the ones to Dre, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure the one to Camden.
He does throw a really nice, like catchable long ball. The guys can run under it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. For sure.
So yeah, there's strengths and weaknesses to his game, which I think we know that. So Where does Florida State stand for him right now? We've talked about him getting offers recently, FSU also offering quarterbacks in the 2023 class. So, Bud, I'll throw it to you because you talked to him about it.
Yeah. You guys can check the video out on the Ulster 24/7 YouTube page. And eventually, I think. We got to talk about offers, the Elite 11 offer, Mississippi State offer, obviously, Florida State offering other quarterbacks. And he said, look, I'm a 17-year-old kid, and they're just, you know, kind of recognition of my talents. And, got to talk more about how FSU's offering other quarterbacks as well. Was that part of the plan? He's like, yeah, they talked to me about it. So he indicated they did communicate with him about that. And he said something effective, like, as long as they're good and I'm good, you know, then I'm good. Or if I'm good, they're good. And I was like, are you good? And he's like, yeah, I'm good. I was like, all right.
He's here, right? So, I think he was here camping.
I think that's a significant development, is that he did show up for this, carried himself just fine, did an interview afterwards. I think that speaks to some degree about it too.
No, and there was one point during the day where I'm trying to remember the context, whether it was a good ball or a not great ball, but him and Norvell went and talked after. He put his arm around Norvell. It wasn't the opposite way around, but I thought the body language throughout the day was solid.
Mike was coaching him up. Like, not that Tony wasn't coached, because obviously, you know, Tony was, but like, Tony's got to deal with, like, not deal with, but coach up 10 guys in the QB line. But like, after Parson went, I mean, almost every time in the early first two sessions, Norvell was like coaching point, like pulling him out of line, talking to him like every time. So there was a lot of attention. FSU was much higher on Parson, I think, than most of the rest of the country. Like, they see something in him.
I think Mike Norvell, that's been a consistent, like, say Kenny Dillingham left for Oregon. I think Mike Norvell is the one who really, really likes him in that group. Not to say that others don't, but I think that he's Mike's guy. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess fair.
I think that's kind of what I've gathered in the last couple of weeks. So, yeah. Do we have anything else we want to talk about as we just kind of this rapid review of it? Yeah, we'll do more fleshed out one.
I mentioned running back Cam Davis was really the only dude there. There were a couple others that showed out. Number four, who was kind of tiny, but
Preston something. We didn't get the name of it. Who is the kid from Alabama? The
Khalifa.
Yeah, he's a big dude who moves well. I would like to see like what he can do with pads on. But there's something there. I'm not sure if it's FSU.
Cam
caliber.
Davis was the only cat that looks like a dude who should be playing running back at FSU.
And he looks different than everyone else. Yeah.
Linebacker, there were two total bodies. One of them, not chance. The other one was Desirio Riles, who's over in Jacksonville at University Christian. He's put on like 35 pounds in the last year. He actually didn't look bad. He had one really nice pick in one-on-ones. I don't think he's a guy that would end up here. But I think there's something to there only being two linebackers here. That's just I feel like you got to have more bodies in that.
Especially as a class where you probably have to take multiple.
Yeah. Even if it's not 23 kids, building relationships with future classes at that position, I think is important.
Who was the Reigns kid?
KJ Kirkland.
He wasn't bad.
Yeah, but he's more safety DB. Yeah. No, I liked the DB group. I liked Quindarius.
Is 16 Kirkland? Was that who number 16 was? Long safety?
Yeah.
All right, shout out to Kevin Little. New to Knowles 24/7, came to his first recruiting event ever today. It was a big deal for him, not into recruiting a lot. And that was his guy. That's who he liked. So shout out to Kevin.
No, I like KJ a lot. I think he's a safety. Shocking. Of course, Chris likes him.
Wow, surprise. Wow.
But no, KJ is a talented kid. I talked to him afterwards. It's still FSU, Florida, and Georgia are the main ones there. And he's probably going to wait. At one point, he was going to try to have a summer decision. Now it sounds like he's going to wait. If he starts scheduling an official to any of those three, then it may speed back up and be a summer deal.
Who is number seven at cornerback? Kid Dreads. This isn't a good podcasting.
Sharif Denson?
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was Bartram Trail really kid. He was good, super competitive. The thing I liked about Sharif is he went against Camden Fryer, who was excellent on today. Vandravius Jacobs, who was very good on today. He competed with the best of the best, and he loved doing it. He went after it. You got a lot of one-on-one with Woodson staff. They were definitely intrigued by him. DJ Pickett, who I mentioned earlier, was an IDB who definitely had that feel. And Quindarius was another one who had thrown that boat.
I remember Sharif was a kid we knew as a freshman in high school. And then he tore his ACL. So he's only like a year and a half off ACL.
That sounds right. And the main school there is Florida. Both parents went to Florida. They're one school locked in for an official for sure. He likes FSU. He does keep showing up here, which says a little something. He was here in March with South Florida Express. He came separate of them, but he was with that group for the visit. So he does keep showing up here. So there's something there. And he does talk a lot. He talks to JP, John Papucha, the area recruiter. He talks to Coach Woodson. Coach Norvell and him also keep up with each other regularly. So that's a recruitment that I think is worth keeping an eye on. But like him versus Kirkland, I think Kirkland is one where FSU is better positioned right now.
Anything else, Zachary?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I think Kirkland might be the most realistic FSU DB target at this moment. At least that's a blue chip guy. Mm-hmm. Just the recruiting rundown on the offensive linemen real quick. DJ Chester, he's really high on Florida State. He's known Alex Atkins for a while because current FSU offensive lineman Bryson Estes went to his high school, Eagles Landing in Georgia. So there's a relationship there that's been built for a while. And after he received an offer from FSU around the spring game, things have only tuned up since then. So FSU sits good there. And then I would say, I think FSU sits in the best spot right now for Roger Kearney, the four-star offensive lineman that I mentioned out of Jacksonville. He's really high on FSU. He's probably not going to make a decision anytime soon. I think he mentioned to me in my interview that he's planning to decide now in December. I asked him specifically about whether the record on the field will matter for the teams he's interested in, and he flat out said he doesn't really think so. So I guess, you know, if Florida State were to have not a great season or not what they're expecting, I don't think it would severely hurt their chances with Rod Kearney, which is a good sign.
I talked to Jatavius Shivers, and a lineman that was here. He's taking a visit to Vanderbilt later this summer. FSU's definitely in the thick there. He's a kid that's been here a couple times. He likes it. He's in no rush with making a decision. I feel like that's about everybody. I talked to Randy Pittman, talked to him about the UCF official he's going to take. He's still, you know, he says he's still 100% to FSU. So I don't think there's reason to be concerned there.
There's a little like, remember Nasir Upshur?
Yeah.
Like, but I think he's probably more athletic.
Yeah.
Right? And he's thicker. Like he's not. He's more cut too.
Yeah,
I think than up.
He's an H-back all the way.
Yeah,
But he's a capable H-back. He actually was a little agitated today that they kept making him line up in the slot. He wanted. He was trying to fight for getting outside and doing something there. Outside. He caught it well though. Of all the guys who are that kind of body type, wide receiver, tight end, H-back types like flex, he was the best at that.
You put out a video of him and his hands like seem very natural the way he catches the ball.
He gets downfield pretty well for a kid who's thick and big. And I think the thing with him is that he's gritty enough to handle the duties of what that position demands when the ball isn't coming your way.
Did you guys talk to Jones?
Caden Jones?
Yeah.
I did. I mean, he said he got an offer from Florida State. I don't know if that, like he said that happened a few weeks ago. I don't think we have that reported on his profile, do we?
I don't know on hand. I'm not sure. I can check.
Come on, Chris.
I will check right now.
Yeah, well, Chris checks on it. Like one thing I liked about him was when they were going through stretch line, you know, they do like the reverse lunge stretch and stuff. And a lot of times these big guys, they take like a gather step and their feet come back together and then they go back. He was actually going like reverse lunge to reverse lunge. And he stumbled a little bit, but like at least he was – that's not easy to do with 6'7". You know, like try that at home. I don't know. Maybe you work out more than I do. You can probably do it, but
do I look like I work out morning?
Take a look around you, bud.
Know your audience.
Like it's hard. I don't think I can do it.
So he got offered 4 days after he came for the junior day in March 23rd. So yes, it was on his profile.
Sorry,
you were probably the one that put it.
I was.
On that note, that was a Chris Knee version of telling Zach Boston to suck it. And I think that's how we end this episode of On the Bench. Thanks for listening, but thanks for making your way up here. Fellas, thanks for having the patience to do this podcast after a long day. We'll be up and at it tomorrow at Mega Camp. So, yeah.
Why is your voice getting quieter?
Sticking the landing.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.